and welcome to Cult of Orpheus, the Lyrical Underground from Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, troubadour Christopher Corbell. We have been producing original opera and art song concerts since 2013. This is Season 1, Episode 3, Not Death, But Love, inspired by the recent Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, two great tastes that taste great together. And also, this is the after-party podcast of our recent love-themed event, Salon d'Amour, which happened here in Portland on Saturday, February 10th. So you're hearing a live recording from the salon we hosted last Saturday. That's our tenor Ray Jackson and pianist Asia Galua. The words are from the Roman poet Catullus, sung in the original classical Latin. The poem is about the pet sparrow that belongs to Catullus's lover, and he's saying how happy it makes him to see her play with the bird, and how he wishes he could cheer himself up while she's away by playing with it like she does. Another favorite poem I set to music, which was also on the program last Saturday, was the first of Elizabeth Barrett Browning's Sonnets from the Portuguese, and that's where we take our episode title. The poet talks about being in a state of nostalgia and melancholy, and feeling that her life was essentially past, and then, with a sense of foreboding, she feels as if a shadow moves behind her, and draws her backward by the hair and asks, "Guess now who holds thee?" Death, the poet answers, but then, as she tells it, the silver answer rang, "Not death, but love." I have some other love-themed poetic songs to share in this podcast. Several of these musical settings, and much more that has not yet been recorded, will be performed at our 5th anniversary concert this summer. That's happening Saturday, August 25th at the Alberta Rose Theater. We have a busy year coming up with some wonderful productions. If you want the full rundown, check out the news link at cultoforpheus.org. A fantastic new troupe of singers will be performing on this year's projects: mezzo-soprano Sadie Gregg, baritone Dan Gibbs, tenor Ray Jackson, and soprano Jocelyn Claire Thomas. We will be issuing two recordings this year, one of original vocal music and the other of our flagship opera, Viva's Holiday. And there's a lot more, including a brand new dive bar opera premiere. So check us out on the website and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Cult of Orpheus. As we go through the year, in this podcast, we will have highlights and previews from all of these projects, as well as special guests on for interviews and performances. The Salon d'Amour event we hosted last week was a fundraiser, but it was also just an awesome house party and a chance to share songs in an intimate setting. It looks like we will probably have one of these every year in February, and they should get bigger and more decadent as we go. But the really wonderful news to come out of this one is that we have a major matching donation gift. Now, we haven't matched it yet, so that's our goal for the next couple of months. We are in Kickstarter mode. We don't use Kickstarter, we use Fractured Atlas, because they are a nonprofit, which means donations are tax deductible to the extent permitted by law. So, while the new music is all written and ready to go and the troupe is prepared to sing their hearts out for you, we still need to cover this year's budget. Your support of this unlikely, all-original, independent opera troupe will be doubled right now if you donate any amount to Cult of Orpheus. I'd like to thank arts champion Ronnie LeCroute for the generous matching pledge. And I'll also give a shout-out of thanks to John Roth, Greg Saul, and Jessica LeVay for their recent donations. We would love to add your name to our donors list as well. Just go to cultoforpheus.org and click Donate. The poem Hymne by French decadent poet Charles Baudelaire from the collection Fleurs de Mal is a hymn not to a god, but to a woman who sets the poet's heart ablaze with light. The hymn uses some traditional poetic language around amour incorruptible, incorruptible love, and he names his love l'ange and l'idole immortelle, angel and immortal idol. From one perspective, that's a lot of pressure to put on someone, but I feel what Baudelaire is displaying is that love for an actual person in their presence and their mortal physicality can be just as sublime and transcendent, or perhaps more so, as love for an abstract idea or generalized divinity. There are clues in this poem that he's blending the physical with the spiritual, such as when he says the beloved permeates my life like air impregnated with salt, and later, grain of musk that lies unseen in the depths of eternity. The implanting of the physical, even the scent of animal musk, in the depths of eternity seemed to the conservative spirit segregators of his day like blasphemy, which earns Baudelaire the label of decadent poet. But what prevails in this enraptured poem is the idea that some things misconstrued as profane by repressive culture can really be seen as eternal as it passes before us if we love it fully, and that hymns can and should be written to our loves moving through the world with us, not just to remote or ancient principles. Here is my musical setting of Baudelaire's Hymne for Three Voices, sung in French by vocal group Bergerette from their album Ennemi du Sommeil. Find that track and the rest of that wonderful album at bergerette.bandcamp.com, and you will also find the sheet music for sale on the Cult of Orpheus website. An ancient Q&A on love is found in the writings of 3rd-century mystic philosopher Plotinus. The author has been contemplating ideal notions of love, including the gods Eros and Aphrodite, and then turns, like Baudelaire, to consider the particular individual love. From Stephen McKenna's definitive English translation, here's an excerpt. Does each individual soul, then, contain within itself such a love in essence and substantial reality? Since not only the pure all-soul, but also that of the universe, contains such a love, it would be difficult to explain why our personal soul should not. It must be so, even with all that has life. This indwelling love is no other than the spirit which, as we are told, walks with every being, the affection dominant in each several nature. It implants the characteristic desire, the particular soul, strained toward its own natural objects, brings forth its own eros, the guiding spirit realizing its worth and the quality of its being. As the all soul contains the universal love, so must the single soul be allowed its own single love. And as closely as the single soul holds to the all soul, never cut off, but embraced within it, the two together constituting one principle of life, so the single, separate love holds to the all love. Similarly, the individual love keeps with the individual soul as that other, the great love, goes with the all soul. And the love within the all permeates it throughout so that the one love becomes many, showing itself where it chooses at any moment in the universe, taking definite shape in these, its partial phases, and revealing itself at its will. In the same way we must conceive many Aphrodites in the all, spirits entering it together with love, all emanating from an Aphrodite of the all, a train of particular Aphrodites dependent upon the first, and each with the particular love in attendance. This multiplicity cannot be denied if soul be the mother of love, and Aphrodite mean soul, and love be an act of a soul seeking good. Words of the philosopher Plotinus from the Third Ennead, Fifth Tractate on Love. Because Valentine's Day fell on Ash Wednesday this year, it seems appropriate to end this episode with a song about the ashes of love. It's Edna St. Vincent Millay's sonnet, Only Until This Cigarette Is Ended. It's part of a three-song cycle of Millay sonnets that I composed. And if you want to read some love poems that get outside of the typical glowy attachment and gender role-playing of the Hallmark Valentine Imperium, Millay's sonnets are really liberating treasures. A brilliant woman writing lyrical poetry and loving whom she would in the first half of the 20th century, Millay was unafraid to question the constraints and assumptions around love, and also, as this poem shows, unafraid to let go of love and to capture the melancholy beauty that can be felt in that letting go, showing how love can permeate even a love affair's ending. This is another live recording from our recent event, the Salon d'Amour, featuring troupe mezzo-soprano Sadie Gregg and pianist Asya Gulua. Thank you. That was a live performance recording of Sadie Gregg singing the poetry of Edna St. Vincent Millay. Thank you for tuning in, and thanks to all who took part in this year's Salon d'Amour. I'm Christopher Corbell, producer-composer of Cult of Orpheus, Portland's only all-original opera and art song company, and this has been the Lyrical Underground.